So, filling in for the guys today. Let's get it.
Temperatures rising. Fever is high. Can't see no future.
Give a quick shout out to a couple of our underwritings and Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings. Features 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with non-stop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue, open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at buffalowildwings.com, Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, and sports. What a great way to bring in a sports show right now, right?
Indeed, indeed, good sir. Nice to be back with you, brother.
Yeah, very nice. It's like a little old times right now for us. I like it.
I'm feeling very nostalgic. We wanted to give a shout out to Jake and Noobs. They're not in. Roe and Izzo. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside my co-host.
I'm Derek Isomaki.
And it's a pleasure to be here. It's been a while, but we are back after a little hiatus here. And man, there is a lot to cover, so let's get right to it.
Definitely.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Colts and Pats?
I might as well. I mean, that's the last game that we just all witnessed.
So Patriots won last night. They are now 5-0.
Yes.
They join the other four undefeateds, or three, is
it? We have Carolina. We have
Green Bay.
Not Green Bay. We have Broncos, Bengals, Pats. Green Bay is not undefeated. They have a loss on their record.
Do they?
Well, misspoken right now.
We really did a great job of research today.
Definitely, yes. That's what we do best. Yeah, the Packers. I'm sorry, the Packers are on there too. I'm sorry, 6-0 as well. I apologize.
That's what I thought. All right. I couldn't remember them losing.
They were just underneath the radar.
Well, if you did watch last night's game, you saw one of the most bizarre plays in the history of the NFL. Let's go to it now.
Now we've got on a fourth down and three. You got Griff Whalen ready to take the snap. He'll snap it. Actually, Colt Anderson is behind him. And what in the world? Flag is down. You tell me.
I thought maybe they were going to try and get him to jump off sides.
Illegal formation. The whole right side of the line was not on the line of scrimmage. Offense. This penalty
the
is
whole right side.
Yes. The result of the play is first down for New England.
There is absolutely no way possible that they should have snapped that ball and tried to sneak it. There were three, four, five guys around two players. That was insane. I mean, you got a guy on either side of them. What are you doing here? I mean, they don't even try to run a play. We've seen a lot of bizarre stuff. I've never seen anything more bizarre than that.
So, truly, one of the craziest plays you'll ever see ran in a professional football game.
That's what's scary, so, like, seeing that happen. Like, that can actually happen still. Like, you think at this level, everyone's frying crisp clean, you know, but this goes to show that even the pros aren't always pros.
Well, I was watching some of the post game coverage, and I want to give proper credit because I believe it was Ron Jaworski that said you don't beat the Pats running gimmick plays. You just don't. You know, they're a disciplined team, and that's not how you beat them. And I've been saying for a while I've thought Chuck Pagano was overrated, and as this is going to sound incredibly insensitive, I think you know where I'm going with this, but I truthfully think if it wasn't for the whole cancer thing, he may not still be the coach there. As terrible as that sounds, he's not done that, great. Bruce Arians filled in, and they didn't miss a step.
But, I mean, were they not the second-best team in the AFC last year?
Correct.
He's got a 500 record in the playoffs right now, which is not bad. He's over 500 in his games in the regular season. They've made the playoffs how many years in a row? Granted, it's a good team, and they're in a very weak division right now, which helps out Chuck Pagano's case. But, I mean, I think that's the thing that comes down to it. Where else would you kind of go for right now? Like, is there another, like, offensive coordinator that none of us are aware of right now that's better than Chuck Pagano right now?
Well, I'm not about coming up with solutions. I just like pointing out flaws, okay? No, I don't want to harp on Chuck Pagano too much, but I just thought that was the absolute worst call at the worst moment possible, because the game was still very winnable. It was a one-score game at that point, and where they were on the field, I think they're on their own 35 or 40. And
half of the field.
I don't mind going for it on your half of the field. I really don't.
But do a play that could actually get you the first down.
I mean, for those of you who didn't see it, basically they had someone line up as a center who I believe was their plays on defense, the quarterback
or something.
Like
maybe a slot receiver, like third bench, special teams, small.
Right, and then they had another D-back, I believe, or a special teams player. They didn't have the right guys out there, but they had two guys lined up in the center of the field, and the entire rest of the team was lined up on the right side of the field.
I mean, you heard the referee's call.
Called it on the entire right side of the field. So, I mean, it was embarrassing, but it was entertaining.
It was. Like, hey, we got a nice... This is a great conversation starter right now to get this show going, is the Colts and Pats and the... swaps that happen.
So the Pats remain undefeated. I don't think there's any surprise there. I still think they're going to be right there in the AFC Championship game. They are always good. So, I mean...
Yeah, no one really... No, the Pats are just the Pats,
News there. I mean, they're the Pats. So you mentioned Carolina, your team, getting a huge win in Seattle.
Oh, big win. It was fantastic.
And this is... their schedule gets a little tougher from here on out, and I thought if they could beat Seattle, that's when I would take them serious, because it's just been hard, just because they, up to this point, they really haven't beaten anyone.
Yeah, no, definitely. They started off really easy going. They had a nice cushion. They faced Jameis Winston. Yep. They faced, Mariota. They faced Blake Bortles.
Right.
They haven't really, I mean, no one that's worthy, that's quite the staple win, and this is...
Yeah.
That staple win right now.
Absolutely.
They needed to get this, especially in Seattle. And the way they did it, too, coming back in the fourth quarter, this Seattle team should be a little scared right now with the way that the product they're putting out on the field.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Seattle for a minute. Now, to Carolina's credit, I don't want to make this, let's bash Seattle, they're terrible. No matter, I know Seattle's having a down start to the beginning of the year, but I don't care who you are, it is hard to play in Seattle.
No doubt about that.
That's
you still
only
have
the
to
third
the plays.
I think
you,
that's the yeah. third time Russell Wilson's lost at home since becoming the starter there 3 years
yes.
ago. So I mean, it's not an easy place to win. That was the single most impressive drive I've seen Cam Newton pull off, to come back and win.
I wouldn't say one, those are like four of them. Like they had four drives. All their touchdowns were from the 20. The 80-yard drives in each one of them. The last two drives he had were really his staple. I thought he was on point.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he controlled that offense, the way he was throwing his passes, he was 5 for 6 on the first drive in the second half that got him that one touchdown behind, and then that second drive he was 5 for 5, and it just goes to show that he was on point. And it's awesome for me, because having been a Carolina Panther fan, I really said this is the year that Cam Newton has to show and come up. And this is a game right now that I hope that he will hold on to it for a long time and take it for the next year.
Yeah, you
next
know,
game.
You and I have discussed Cam Newton at length before, mainly off air. But I think part of what's really held him back, besides just inconsistent play, is, you know, he bursts on the scene his first game as a pro. He throws for 420-something yards, which no one has ever done in their premier game. And, you know, but since then, he's had a really up-and-down career. And you see the potential there. And I think yesterday could potentially be the sign a sign of what's to come. I mean, you look at the team he has around him. No more Steve Smith. No more.
I mean, his best receivers is tight end and Greg Olsen.
He has, right.
His top receiver in that team is Ted Ginn Jr. Okay, like that's their number one receiver.
And when Benjamin went out with the ACL in the offseason, I remember my little cousin Chase, who you and I both know is the biggest football fanatic any of us know. He literally texts me, RIP to the Panthers, their season's over. And hey, 5-0, not what I expected at all, but hats off to them for sure.
No, definitely. I mean, that just shows a lot of resilience on their team's behalf, that a bunch of guys that most of us don't really know or thought were just has-beens
right.
are putting something together right now. Jonathan Stewart was running the ball, scored two touchdowns on that Seattle team defense that was supposed to be the best there was, the Legion of Boom.
That is, at the end of the day, that is what was most impressive to me, is it's not just the 480-yard drives, it's who they're doing it against and where they're doing it. To go against the premier defense, it's been between them and the Niners, maybe except last year, the past three seasons before that, it was always the Niners, and Seattle had the toughest defense.
Yeah, those are.
And Seattle, I mean, their guys are ridiculous on the defensive side of the ball. Now with Payne, Russell Wilson, they have had to let some guys go. Browner, Maxwell in particular, they've lost a couple other guys, but they're still a.
I mean, you still have Cam Chancellor, you still have Earl Thomas, you still have Richard Sherman as your secondary right there. That's fantastic right there. And he was throwing the ball on them, and he was completing on target, like just sharp passes, super crisp. So great to see that win. Great win for them.
And so like we mentioned, it's the Pats, we got the Panthers. Let's talk about the Bengals here for a second.
Ooh, that's a team.
Because I think we both knew the Bengals would be good, and I think the general consensus around the league is good for them. They look scary. Let's wait till the postseason. And unfortunately, when you're Andy Dalton, they could go 16-0, and none of it matters if they lose their first postseason game because of his past postseason performances, which have been, for lack of a better phrase, just awful.
Yeah, no, they have not been pleasant, especially I'm sure as Cincinnati fans, they're hoping for more. And they have a team right now that the way that they're playing, it's – you think they should be, but again, like you said, we're all on that tentative bandwagon of we cannot give them the shtick just yet. You have to really earn it, and sometimes that's a little unfair for a team because only one team wins every single year. You know,
sure.
We expect that from so many other teams.
Right.
Every other team, it almost seems like a failure to them, and like them making the playoffs is no longer satisfactory. They have to do more now.
Which it's like, come on, Cincinnati. Like, when was the last time your guys were good? Like, the fans should be happy with what they have on the field. And I understand the frustration, but I do think that this year is a little different. Again, unfortunately, they will be judged on how they perform in the postseason. And so, you know, we have yet to see, but I don't remember since Andy Dalton's being there where both the offense and the defense just seem to be firing on all cylinders for five straight games like they have. Because they haven't just looked good. They've looked really good in all their wins.
All of them. I mean, their offensive line is...
It looks great.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, every quarterback is usually going to be better when he has a clean pocket around him.
Yeah.
And that's... Andy Dalton's really that type of person. You got that clean pocket, he... Look what he's doing. He's throwing the ball with a lot of confidence out there.
Yeah, and he has time. He looks comfortable in the pocket, and he's throwing on time. And, I mean, Marvin Jones, some of the plays he was making yesterday, are you kidding me? Yeah. Some of those catches when he flipped over that guy's head and reached into the end zone, that was
And the fact he still held on to the ball during that entire – like, most people would have dropped it, gotten knocked out. No, it's scary. They should be good. I mean, a lot of it comes down to, like I said, also Geno Atkins on that defense has really kind of clamped them all together. They're finally getting the pass rushing in there, which, hey, that helps out on all the other aspects.
You know, and my favorite thing that the Cincinnati Bengals have going is Adam, formerly known as Pac-Man Jones. The resurgence, I can't wait for that 30 for 30 on
Seriously,
ESPN.
That's gonna be a great.
That's
one.
Gonna be a great one because the resurgency that guy has had in the NFL from being a guy who was suspended for a year just because he couldn't stay out of strip clubs and drinking and fighting and doing all these hood rat things.
I honestly keep forgetting that he's still playing because
yeah, and he's playing well.
He is.
He's playing really well.
I mean, the secondary in Cincinnati is no joke. They have
they look nice. So
very good.
But definitely great for him and great for Cincinnati and that whole city. I mean, Ohio has been a beleaguered sports state for a while.
Yeah.
Just ask Grant. He's from there.
I guess you can take solace in Ohio State winning a championship.
Yeah, but on the professional level, it's been a long time since they've had much to root for besides LeBron coming back. And so we'll see with the NBA season right around the corner. Maybe if we have time, we'll get into that. But we'll see. Moving on. Green Bay remains undefeated. We both kind of forgot about them. I think the reason we may have forgot about them is, I don't know, actually.
Their wins...
It's just kind of underwhelming.
They really are. Like, the past couple games from Aaron Rodgers just haven't been the Aaron Rodgers you're used to. Like, he struggled really bad against St. Louis at Lambeau at home.
Mm-hmm.
And even they didn't look super clean against San Diego. Granted, apparently, Keenan Allen was catching everything.
Oh, my goodness.
And
Phillip Rivers, 43 completions yesterday, second most all-time, I believe.
Yes. And 509 yards?
Yeah. Unreal, man.
And unfortunately, still lost. Yeah.
But, go ahead.
I was going to say, great defensive effort at the end of that game to prevent that touchdown from being
scored.
That
was crazy.
Yeah.
Fourth and goal that they got? Yeah, fourth and goal. And then the Packers got the stop there and move on to to join the Broncos, who we haven't mentioned yet, as one of the
other underwhelming, very underwhelming 6-0 team, kind of.
Very underwhelming. Their defense looks great. And I think the reason that they look underwhelming is because Peyton Manning has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns this year.
Their defense is, honestly scoring more points.
Yeah.
It's definitely, so it is easy to see that.
And we're used to, minus the last, let's say, six games of last year, we're not used to this Peyton Manning. We're used to 400, 500-yard games. We're used to four touchdown games. And this has just been, this is just a guy aging and dealing with injuries. There is a great article in Sports Illustrated that kind of walks you through some of his routine and how long it takes him just to take off his pads after a game. I mean, the guy is, 38, 39?
He's getting there.
Yeah, he's nearly 40, and he's multiple neck surgeries. It looks like it's finally starting to catch up to him, and it's a bit tough to watch because we don't love to see our sports stars look banged up and past their prime.
No, definitely. I mean, especially someone that had the effect that Peyton Manning did. I mean,
he's
pretty much a guy that there's going to be people that probably don't like him, but he's still all around has a positive, most people have a positive outlook towards
him. Oh, absolutely.
He's a classy dude. And when you see someone as good as he was come down to where he's coming, it's never fun to see that. You hope it's as graceful as can be, and maybe he goes out with a win. That'd be nice. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them go for a Super Bowl win, but with that offense, they're not going to be able to do it. The defense the offense has to be more complimentary towards
the defense. And in fairness to Peyton, he had a couple completions in the fourth quarter would-be completions that were just dropped at the end of the game there. And if Demaryius Thomas makes the catch, if Emmanuel Sanders doesn't run and celebrate a first down and let time expire, they're kicking for the game there. So, still Peyton Manning hasn't looked like Peyton Manning, but, Gary Kubiak has led that team to 6-0. So, hats off to them.
Yeah, we can't really say that much else. You're 6-0. You are what your record is, and so far they're undefeated, so we got to give them that nod.
Pittsburgh. Let's get to Pittsburgh. We're going really NFL heavy, if you can't tell. Pittsburgh gets a win with their third-string quarterback, Landry Jones, after Vic went out with a hammy. He got hit in the head, and they took him out for a concussion. He was only out for a play. And then I believe it was a hammy that he pulled or something.
That, or they just didn't like – he wasn't throwing the ball well.
I was watching the game.
He was not getting the work done. We'll exacerbate this issue, and let's see what this guy who's never thrown a pass in the NFL is like. And turned out to be a pretty good play for them.
Yeah. I mean, he played great. Couple of touchdowns. That 88-yarder to Martavius Bryant. Yeah. That was awesome. So Pittsburgh still looks really tough. And let's get to Cap. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about my man, Colin Kaepernick. The roller coaster continues.
He threw a couple of touchdowns to his own teammates.
Yes.
That's
That's progress. That's progress. I can't figure out this team, man. They're exactly what I expected, which was I had no expectations because I had no idea what to expect. From week to week, they look decent against Minnesota. Then they look terrible for three games straight. Then they had the game in New York wrapped up.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for a Larry Donnell, David Tyree type catch in the back of the end zone where he's just securing the ball to the top of his helmet.
Won me my fantasy game. Appreciate it so
great.
Much.
Great for you. Good for you, dude. you know, they could be 3-3 right now. So I have no idea what to expect moving forward.
The only thing we really can do at this point is just judge them on their consistency. If you're going to be good this week, you got to be good next week and keep doing that along the lines.
Yeah, and to be fair, their schedule has been pretty brutal to this point. And even though Baltimore has only won one game, it's still Baltimore. They're still a good team.
They're an interesting team, the fact that they've only won that one. You know, it is scary because that's another team that's kind of hard to see do bad because we're so used to seeing them always in that playoff contention.
Right. All right, let's move forward here. Let's get into some baseball before we finish out with a little bit of college football on the back end.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start there?
I mean, you might as well just got to go into the fact that Jake Arrieta, I just want to say welcome to the playoffs.
Right.
It's not the same game. It's a little bit different. Sometimes the atmosphere is electric and wow. I got to give a shout-out to Noobs on this because he's the one that
he did call
he
this.
Called the Mets.
A while back, didn't he?
He did. I remember coming in here before the season had started, and
he
mentioned
that.
The Mets were his dark horse team. I liked them from the get-go. I wasn't going to say World Series, but
right.
I mean, it's fantastic. It's awesome to
They're
see
a couple
them.
Games
I,
away.
They really are. 2-0 against the Cubs.
Yeah.
They won 4-1 last night, 4-1 last night.
David Wright had a huge game. Granderson
and Daniel Murphy. Gosh, my goodness!
Wow!
He is going crazy right now. His bat is carrying them.
Mm-hmm.
So good for the Mets. Maybe the Cubs can pull it out and keep Back to the Future Part 2 their prediction alive. But so far, not so good. Sorry, Cubs. Maybe next year.
You know, and Jake, myself and Noobs were talking about this at Chococo this weekend. And shout out to you if you were at Chococo. I'm sure you had a great time. But we were talking about this then that, you know, the Mets, it's or with the Cubs, as much as it would be fun to see them win, part of the whole, I don't know, part of the thing that makes them lovable is the fact it's just such an odd thing to go over 100 years without winning a World Series in a city. I've been to Wrigley Field, in a city that loves the Cubs and their team that much. Those fans are nuts, man. I'm telling you. And it's just part of the mystique about the Cubs.
Yeah.
So as much as I want to see them win, it's really, I don't know.
It's nice to have that one team that just can never quite get there, you know, as long as it's not your team.
Right.
But it's like someone in the background that is just trying. I can understand what you're saying, that part of them that makes them so lovable is the fact that they suck for so long. They always choke at some point.
Now, remind me of the GM's name there. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank. He came
Marco,
over from Boston.
Epstein.
Yes.
Theo Epstein. Thank you.
What a job of turning that team around.
Really,
I mean, my goodness. I don't know. He's only making like $3.5 million a year. I don't. The GM should possibly be the highest paid person in the organization.
I think it goes to show, it really does, that if
they're responsible for your team,
they put it together. They draft the players you have. They get the farm system going for you, and he has done a fan. Like, they're ahead of schedule, as they've been saying before.
Right.
So I think that's maybe why I don't see the Cubs doing it. They have a
they are a little bit ahead of their young
squad.
Yes,
and I mean, you got some really young bats in there, so they'll be fine in the coming future. So
cool. Yeah. Kansas City's rolling up 2-0 in the series. Is the game's going on now? Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Do you have a score for us?
Let me get you an update right now. We'll.
Kansas City's looking to make a...
Yeah, it is a 3-1 Toronto in the top of the third right now.
Okay.
So they're in Toronto for this game, the next two games. So maybe Toronto gets back into it and that offense gets alive.
It would be nice to see the series come alive. The thing I love about this year in the playoffs is the only rooting interest I had, I hate to say it, was for your Dodgers to lose, being a Giants fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, now at this point, I don't really care. I'm happy for all these cities, all these teams, because most of these cities, it's been so long since they've won anything. Yeah, I mean, Kansas City was in the World Series last year, but before that, I mean,
this is a team that's finally on the good end of the hard work they've been paying off. And that's like I said, you said these teams would be in the final, the CS, the championship series.
Right.
These, 5 years ago, people would say you're crazy. Like, there's no chance. All these teams are terrible.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, I'm in the same boat. Like, yes, as a Dodger fan, it was terrible to see him not get knocked out, but each one of these teams out there, you really just got to say, hey, you guys are doing the game right.
Mm.
Go out there and make your city proud.
Agreed. It's baseball's fun. And the postseason, baseball postseason is one of my favorite times of the year. It's always just, it's so unpredictable from year to year.
Yeah.
It is so unpredictable. Unlike the NBA, you know, where you kind of know who the five best teams are any given year going into the year.
Yeah.
Rarely are we that surprised, you know. Been baseball's a fun postseason, and, you know.
Baseball's coming up as the sport is really transforming itself into being a lot more exciting for us as spectators.
Now, let's get into some college football really, really quick in our last few minutes here, because Michigan State had one of the craziest endings to a game I've ever seen.
Let's just listen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
I remember going through puberty.
Fourth and ten. Yeah, his voice definitely cracked there. That was a lot of excitement
really
in
excited.
His voice there.
I mean, granted, that was so unpredictable. Like, no one saw that coming.
Like I said, craziest end to a game I've seen.
Michigan had a chance.
In a long
All they had
time.
To do was punt the ball away. Game's over. Michigan wins.
Fourth and ten. Game's over. You, with 10 seconds,
10
left,
seconds left.
You punt the ball. You kick it out of bounds. They have to throw a Hail Mary. Best
yeah.
chance. To win the game, and they just absolutely blow it at home. Let's hear what Jim Harbaugh had to say after the game.
The Lion King. Yeah. Simba gets hit over the head, and he tells him, yeah, the pass can hurt. You can either run from it or embrace it and learn from it. I think is exactly what he said. So those seem like very wise words. We'll go about that. You can run from it or you can learn from it. That was who said that? Rafiki? Rafiki. Wise words. And there's no question. There's an outstanding football team. And
God, I miss that, guys. Press conferences, they're just the best.
That's a great one right there. Great shout out to Rafiki right there. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lion King references.
No doubt.
So hopefully they respond well to next week, because there's a special team going on over there in Michigan, and Harbaugh has proven himself.
Oh, man. Talk about ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, we thought Michigan would be on the turnaround, but I didn't think they would be.
If they had won that game, they would be legitimate titles to be in that Final Four.
They would be in the top 10 for sure this week.
And
yeah,
you never know what would happen in the coming weeks after
that. So that was. I'm a Michigan fan, as are you,
yes.
And that was a heart-wrenching loss. I was getting ready to go to Chococo, and I'm screaming in the living room, wait, what? Did this just happen? Like, I'm freaking out. I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, man.
That's why we love sports, though. It's never set until it's 0-0-0-0.
Right. Thoughts go out to Jalen Watt Jackson, who made the final play there, scored the touchdown, broke his hip, is out for the season, obviously.
Nah, that's tough.
And that is really tough. But, man, imagine being that punter walking around Big Blue Nation this weekend. That cannot be easy.
I mean, I know there's a big letter sent out from the athletic director there and telling people to stop sending him death threats, pretty much. So it's sad that was the case that even happened, especially to your own guy.
It's sports. Let's relax, people.
Yeah, come on.
Did you want to give us a Cristiano Ronaldo take real quick?
We have just one minute here, and we got to get out. I do love my soccer, so I want to give a shout-out. Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 325th goal in La Liga for Real Madrid. That's most ever for that team. So he's truly being – his goal was to be the greatest footballer ever, and his goal-scoring record would show that. Well, that was, like I said, a quick little shout-out. We don't want to spend that much time on soccer, but obviously we want to give a shout-out to our underwriters, because Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by our Artoberfest, Chico's month-long arts and culture celebration. Once again, our Artoberfest guide will be online at artoberfest.net, and you can list your event for free by clicking on the contact tab. Karen Lemecki, Real Estate Has Beans, White Glove Chimney, and Air Duct and Payroll Plus are proud to support Artoberfest.
Derek, it's been real, brother.
I appreciate it, Drew.
Good time. Yes, sir. Jake and Noobs will be back next week. Stays tuned, is what I'm trying to say, for Peace Talk Radio.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolence.